I would love to sing that with the angels. So, well, we're looking at the Gospel of Mark in our series called The Come and See. And we're kind of at the end of chapter 2, going into chapter 3, but we saw at the beginning of chapter 2 that Jesus made this claim that he had the authority and the power to forgive sin. And this sent the Pharisees, the religious do-it-alls, the religious leaders, like over the top, and they accused Jesus of blasphemy. Well, today, we're going to see Jesus say something so over the top, so outrageous, that not only does it send the religious leaders, you know, have them blow their mind, but they come to the conclusion that the only way to stop Jesus is to kill Jesus. And so that's what we're going to see today. And what Jesus says through this passage is not that he came to, you know, reform religion, but what we see Jesus say in this passage is that he came to put an absolute end to religion and replace it with himself. And so we're going to look at two passages this morning, and they both talk about the Sabbath. And the Sabbath was a big deal for the people of Israel. It was on the seventh day. It was from sundown Friday to sundown on Saturday. And it was a day of rest and a day of remembrance of who God was. And he talks about the Sabbath this morning. And we're going to see two things this morning, just two points this morning. Let me give them to you up front, and then we'll unpack them as we go along. But what we see this morning is we see the futility of religion. And that it offers us no hope and no peace and no confidence. We see the futility of religion. We see the finality of Jesus. So the finality of Jesus Christ is where we're going to be. And so you have your Bibles. I want to invite you to turn to Mark chapter 2 this morning, Mark chapter 2. And if you didn't bring your Bibles, we're going to put it up on the screen for you. But Mark chapter 2, as we begin this discussion, about looking at the futility of religion and how religion is of no help to us whatsoever. So let's begin in verse 23, Mark chapter 2. It says, one Sabbath, again, that was the seventh day. It was from Friday sundown to Saturday sundown. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and his disciples walked along, and they began to pick some heads of grain. And the Pharisees, now remember the Pharisees, they're highly moral, highly religious people. They had the first five books of the Old Testament memorized. They were the religious leaders of the day. And so the Pharisees saw this, and the Pharisees said to him, look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? And we'll talk about that in just a moment. And Jesus answered, have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? And of course, this was kind of a jab to the Pharisees, because of course they had read about this. Of course they knew the story. So this is kind of Jesus trash talking them a little bit, okay? And he said, have you never read? And of course, we've read the whole, you know, all of the scriptures of the Old Testament. Have you never read that what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for the priest to eat. So there was bread that was consecrated, that was dedicated to the temple, and only the priest could eat it. And he also, so David ate it, and he wasn't a priest. David, he also ate it, and he also gave some to his companions. And then Jesus said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Chapter 3, verse 1. Another time, Jesus went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there, and some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. So they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. So these guys, I mean, they're just kind of following Jesus at this point, and they're just waiting for Jesus to mess up. They're waiting for him, you know, to mess up, so then you say, aha, we got you, you know, red-handed, you know, you're guilty. And so they waited to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. And Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, stand up in front of everyone. So Jesus, I mean, he didn't want anybody to miss this. And then Jesus asked them, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil? to save life or to kill, but they all remained silent. I mean, I bet they did at this point. And he looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts. And he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. So the law of God, in the Old Testament, it directed people to rest from their work one day out of seven. And as great as that sounds, right? I mean, it's like, oh man, I would love to rest for one day. As great as that sounds, the religious leaders, they had added all these extra rules and regulations. In fact, there was 39 activities that you could not do on the Sabbath. For instance, you could not pick some grain as you walked through the field, okay? That's what the disciples did. You could not pick grain as you walked through the field because that would be considered harvesting, okay? Another thing that you could not do, another of the regulations was as you walked along and if you had a cane, you could not drag your cane in the dirt because that would be considered plowing, okay? So they had all these different regulations of what you could and could not do on the Sabbath. And these religious leaders were trying to catch Jesus breaking one of their made up 39 regulations. Now, here's the reason why Jesus was so angry with them. And it has to do with what the Sabbath is really about. Because the Sabbath is about replenishing the drained. It's about filling what is empty. It's about repairing what is broken. It's about remembering who God is and what he's done for us on our behalf. And it's also remembering his blessings and enjoying God's blessings in our life. The Sabbath is about trusting him and acknowledging he is our supreme authority and our lone source of provision in our lives. And these religious leaders, they did not want Jesus to heal this man because with the shriveled hand, because that would go against one of the 39 regulations that they had set up. In other words, their hearts were just as shriveled as this man's hand. And these religious leaders, they were so concerned about the regulations. They were so concerned and so focused on what you could do and what you could not do. They were so concerned about staying in control of everybody's life. They were so concerned about their self-image. They missed what the Sabbath was all about. And the reason why they missed it was because of religion. That they had put their identity in the practices. They had put their identity in tipping the scales. They had put their identity in their good behavior. Look at verse 27. It says, then he said to them, Jesus said to them, that the Sabbath was made for man, not the man for Sabbath. So the Son of Man, and that was Jesus's, you know, kind of nickname for himself, the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. And so what Jesus is saying here, he's saying there's two different spiritual paradigms, okay? Paradigm one is religion and the law, okay? Paradigm two is Jesus and the gospel, okay? And these two paradigms are in conflict with each other. Paradigm one, the religion and the law, most people, you know, believed, okay, well, if there is a God, you relate to God by being good, okay? And this is the basis of every religion, okay? All religion is based on this principle, and there's a million different variations of this, but it's all based on this principle that if I perform good enough, then I'm accepted, okay? That's the paradigm of religion and the law. But the gospel in Jesus is not only different from that, but it's also absolutely opposed to it, okay? Religion, okay, follow me here, stay with me. Religion says, I obey, therefore I'm accepted. The gospel says, I am fully accepted in Jesus Christ, and therefore I obey. See the difference? Religion says, if I give something to God, then God will give something to me, that God owes me, okay? But the gospel says that God, through Jesus Christ, gives us complete salvation that's accepted by faith in Jesus that's given by grace, and therefore I'm freed up to live my life for him. In religion, the purpose of the law is to assure us that everything is good between us and God. And if I do good enough, then God will do good by me. But the gospel says that we have the law to show us that we can't live up to this standard. And as a result, we're in desperate need of a savior. Now, here's what we need to be mindful of. Okay, watch, listen, don't miss this. For all of humanity, our natural default is religion. I know that's true in my heart, that it's so easy for me to default back to religion because it makes me feel better about myself. That give me the rule. We all want to know, okay, what rules do I have to follow? I just want to make sure I'm doing the right thing. Show me what rules I need to do, okay? Show me what I can do. Show me what I can't do. And kind of what we're asking is, hey, how close to the line can I get without actually going over the line? That's religion. Okay, but the problem is our hearts automatically default to that because it makes us feel better about ourselves, because it's this thin self-righteousness, this self-achieved self-righteousness, because what we always try to do in religion is we find somebody that we're better than. Now, I know, you know, I'm not perfect, and you're like, hello, thank you for that newsflash. But, you know, we're like, oh, I know I'm not perfect, but at least I'm better than he is. At least I'm better than she is. At least I'm not doing what they're doing. And it makes us feel good about ourselves. And that's called self-righteousness. And that's what religion leads to. And Jesus said, I've come not to reform religion, but I've come to tear it down and replace it with me. And that's why we have to force ourselves every single day to embrace the gospel. I have to remind myself every single day that I'm fully accepted, fully approved, fully significant, fully important, fully valued, fully secure, fully loved because of what Jesus Christ has done for me. Amen? So that's why we have to embrace religion. Now, look at verse 6. Verse 6 just shows us how polarizing Jesus was. And I know we like to make Jesus safe and soft and, you know, and kind and compassionate. And he was kind and compassionate, but he was also polarizing. And we see this in verse 6. He says, then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. Now, the Herodians, they were supporters of the Herod dynasty. And the Herod dynasty, they were ruling over Israel for the occupying power of Rome, okay? That they were put into position to rule over, to make sure everybody paid their taxes, everybody obeyed the Roman laws, okay? And when Rome came in and conquered Israel, not only did they bring in brute force to make sure everybody obeyed and everybody paid their taxes, but they also brought in this Greco-Roman worldview. This Greco-Roman worldview that said, you know, that said, you know, the physical world, our bodies were weak, and death, if anything, was an escape from weakness. And they had they had this view of there was, you know, all these different gods. There was the god of the moon, the god of the sun, the god of the rain, god of the wind, god of the harvest, all these different kinds of gods. And so they had a pluralistic view of the supernatural. And, you know, they had all these views about sex, that it didn't matter. And, you know, that husband and wife, you know, you go and, you know, kind of do whatever you wanted to do. And so that's how what they felt. But you had the Pharisees, who were very moral people, and they wanted to protect Israel, and they wanted Israel to follow the Old Testament biblical views. And so these two groups, the Pharisees and the Herodians, they hated each other. They despised each other. They didn't see eye to eye on anything, but here they're teaming up to not just stop Jesus, but to kill Jesus. I mean, let me just kind of, maybe this will help us kind of understand. It would be like two sworn enemies coming together. It would be like the Longhorns and the Aggies coming together to stop the Oklahoma Sooners. Now, I know that that illustration falls way short because nobody, everybody knows that Oklahoma and Jesus can't be mentioned in the same sentence. But you had these two sworn enemies putting all of their differences to get aside to say, hey, how can we stop and take out and kill Jesus and put an end to this movement once and for all? And so that's how polarizing Jesus was. And we see this religion, it offers us nothing, nothing. So then we see the finality of Jesus. Look at verses 27 and 28. It says, then Jesus said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath. Jesus did not say the Sabbath was only for the Jews. He didn't say that the Sabbath was only for his followers. He didn't say the Sabbath was for only a certain number of people or a certain group of people. But Jesus says that the Sabbath is for all of humanity, that we have to rest from our work. We have to put a limit on our work. And here's what Sabbath means, okay? Sabbath means deep rest or deep peace. And Jesus says, I'm Lord of rest, that I'm the source of rest, that your soul, that your mind, that your heart, that your body so desperately needs. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus says, come to me all who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. So there's two implications to this. Number one is that Jesus is Lord. You see, when Jesus says that he can forgive sins, he's making the claim that all sins are against him. That's what he's saying. Now you can only forgive something that's been done to you, right? I mean, you can only forgive something that's been done to you. And so, you know, if Tanner gets up and, you know, punches Caleb in the nose and I say, hey, I forgive you, Tanner, that doesn't hold a lot of weight because it's Caleb who got punched in the nose, not me. But when Jesus says, I forgive sin, what he's saying is all sin is done to me. And Jesus knows that there is a God who is uncreated, but created all things and holds all things together and sustains all things. And what Jesus is saying time after time after time is, I am that God. I am God, that is who I am, that Jesus is Lord. Now, N.T. Wright, we've talked about him before. He's this incredible author, theologian. And he writes in his book, For All of God's Worth, he says this, and it's kind of weighty, so hang with me here. He writes, how can you live with the terrifying thought that the hurricane has become human, that the fire has become flesh, that life itself came to life and walked in our midst, talking about Jesus there. Christianity either means that or it means nothing. It is either the more devastating disclosure of the deepest reality in the world that God became man, or it's a sham, a nonsense, a bit of deceitful play acting. Most of us, unable to cope with saying either of those things, condemn ourselves to live in the shallow world in between. And what he's saying is that Jesus was either a lunatic and a liar and he got what he deserved, or he is who he said he is and he can do what he said he can do, and he is Lord, he is God. And we live in this middle ground that we don't think he was a lunatic or a liar, but we also don't want to, you know, if he really is God, then and we don't completely submit our lives to his authority, then we've condemned ourselves to live in this shallow middle ground. And we have to decide, are we going to yield our entire lives to his authority or not? If he really is who he says he is and he can do what he says he can do, why wouldn't we yield, submit to his authority? Why do we come to the scripture and say, I like this part because I can do this part really well. I'm pretty naturally good at it. I like this part because it backs up, all my, worldviews. I don't really like this part. I think this part is outdated. I don't agree with this. I'm not going to do that. No way I'm doing that. What we're saying is, well, then Jesus really wasn't who he said he was when we do that. So Jesus is Lord. The second implication is that Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. That we could say a lot, of things about setting aside a day of rest. And we need to take time to physically and mentally rest from our work. But there's a deeper rest involved when it comes to the Sabbath. You see, to rest from our work means that we can leave it alone. Okay? To rest from work means that we're satisfied with it. You see, it says in Genesis 1 that God created on the seventh day, he rested. Now, have you ever thought about why in the world did God rest? I mean, if God is who he says he is, then God never gets tired, right? So why would God rest if he never got tired? Because to rest means that you're satisfied with your work. And we see God all through the story of creation to say, it is good. He rested. He was satisfied. Now, without God in our lives, without the gospel at work in our lives, we go on this journey of trying to prove to ourselves and trying to prove to so many other people that we're good enough, we're important enough, we're successful enough, and we're powerful enough, and basically that we are enough. But the gospel allows us to rest from that because on the cross, Jesus said what? It is finished. So this journey, this track, this trying to achieve, this trying to do better, it is finished. See, when we embrace the rest of when we embrace rest and we embrace the gospel, we don't have to rely on our work to make us good enough. We don't have to rely on our work or our resume or our positions to make us powerful enough or successful enough or important enough. That when we rest in what Jesus did for us on the cross, our souls can have that deep Sabbath rest that we so desperately need. The band's gonna come and they're just gonna lead us in a couple of songs that gives us some time to kind of process what Sabbath means, okay? And Sabbath, when we talk about Sabbath, we're talking about a time to set aside and enjoy the blessings of God. It's not a time that we set aside and we just get lazy on the couch. It's not a time that we set aside and we binge watch a show on Netflix. It's not a time that we set aside and we're just on our phones all day. In fact, it's anything but that. But it's a time to set aside and remember who God is, remember what he's done for us, and to enjoy his blessings. And for so long, I thought, well, man, I don't have 24 hours to set aside in Sabbath. And so we just never really did. And then started reading and listening to other people. It doesn't have to be 24 hours. It could be, if we're not doing any Sabbath right now, it could be for 2 hours, to set aside 2 hours or 4 hours or 6 hours to remember who God is, what he's done for us, and to enjoy, to delight in his blessings. It's to make a plan. It's just to make a plan. What am I gonna do that I delight in? And maybe to start Sabbath just to remind us, hey, this is a time to put away my phone and not think about work is, I'm just gonna light a candle. I'm gonna get a special candle and I'm just gonna keep it lit. And when we light this candle, it means, hey, we're declaring Sabbath in our house. For the next 2 hours, we're gonna Sabbath. We put the phones away and we're just gonna Sabbath. And maybe we start with just reading a scripture, whoever we're celebrating Sabbath with, by ourselves or with our family or some friends. And maybe we just read a psalm to remind us who God is. And we just share, hey, God has been my strength lately. Man, my schedule at work, my schedule, the kids' schedule, it has just worn me out. He's been my strength. And God has been my grace. I've felt like I've messed up and messed up and messed up, but he has just been my grace and my source of mercy. Or maybe we just say, hey, God's been my wisdom. I've just been dealing with some things and I don't really know how to navigate. And I've just been constantly going to the scriptures. And we start our time with that. And then what are you going to do? I don't know. I mean, what brings you delight? Maybe it's you go for a walk. Or maybe you find a park that you normally wouldn't go to and you do just an incredible, exhausting hike. Or maybe it's you get some stationery and a really great pen and you only use it during Sabbath and you use an hour or two just to write letters to family or friends and just tell them who, you know, what they mean to you and how much you love them. Remind them of that. Or maybe you love playing golf and maybe it's just you're gonna go and play golf on a really, really nice course that you haven't played. And you're just gonna enjoy God. Now, some guys are thinking, man, he just gave me permission to go play golf. Yeah. But let it be with a different attitude that you're doing it to enjoy God and to enjoy the people that you're with and have intentional conversations. Maybe it's going to the market and you know, you find a recipe online and you go to Central Market or some other place and you get all these fresh ingredients and you spend a little bit more on that steak and you're just going to prepare this great meal for your family or to invite friends over to share this incredible meal. Or maybe you splurge on a bottle of wine that you normally wouldn't buy, but it's Sabbath and you're going to enjoy the blessings of God. You're going to delight in Him and remember who He is. You say, well, God, preacher, I don't know if I have time for that. The people that I listen to, and this is more of a, hey, do as I say, not as I do, because we're not great at this in our rhythms, but we're trying to be. But the people who do it consistently, I hear them say over and over and over, we look forward all, we do the week so we can do Sabbath. We can't do the week without doing Sabbath, even if it's only for a couple hours on a Saturday afternoon. So, my Sabbath on October 19th is I'm going to watch Texas and Georgia, and I'm going to watch Alabama and Tennessee, and I'm going to smoke a brisket, and I'm just going to enjoy the daylights out of the blessings of God, and hopefully some cooler weather. So, what's your Sabbath? What's your Sabbath? Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much that...